This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
So, gosh, this episode, what didn't we cover? We talked about Chubba Wubba.
No, I don't know. We found out that that's actually not the name of the band. It's Chumba Wumba.
That's correct. But we did go through an entire episode referencing Chubba Wubba. Which, when we say Chubba Wubba, I picture Chewbacca for some reason. Yeah. That's what I'm picturing.
Well, even when you say Chumba Wumba, I still picture Chewbacca.
Okay.
But this was a really fun one because I like to hear your story about...
Well, yeah, I had direct contact with some people with this movie.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, thank you. You also like Chubba Wubba.
No, I said I don't like that name.
Well, we'll let the listeners decide. Well, here we go.
Yes. Okay.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
This is Tig and Cheryl True Story. Is it not?
Yeah, why are you asking?
I don't know.
I mean, you should be telling people, not like, right? That's
well,
what
we're okay,
doing.
Let me take charge. Tig and Cheryl, colon, true story. Should we be adding the colon in? It's always good to add a colon.
I don't think you verbally have to add it. I think it's better if you ignore it verbally.
All right. Tig and Cheryl... Not even going to look at that. Hmm. True story. You do it.
Tig and Cheryl.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to take the reins again. Tig and Cheryl, true story.
True story.
Yeah. This episode is about the documentary A Band Called Death. I'm assuming you had heard of the band called Death, Cheryl?
It's probably going to shock you when I say no.
I hadn't either. I had not heard of them either, but I do love music.
I love music. Don't try to act like I don't love music.
Not here to fight you about it.
Okay.
I'm winning.
That's just the way you said it was sort of accusatory. Go ahead.
No, you go. I'm going to go.
You go.
When I saw this promoted online, I immediately thought, I got to watch this. And I have to say, I love this story so much. I tell everybody about this documentary. I tell everybody about Death, the band, and there's a twist in the story. I don't want to go into that just yet, but
it is pretty amazing. The whole story is fascinating.
I know
it
I
is
know.
Fascinating, and the music. And it's really fun to listen to the music. And I'm really intrigued by musicians and people who, you know, they get up in the morning and they sing,
listen to this voice,
or they play their instrument or whatever it is, like all night long, and then they go to bed and get up in the morning and do it all again. And that's
they don't get up in the morning. That's where you're wrong.
They stay up
they
all
get
night.
Up around 3 in the afternoon.
And then they start.
Because they were playing their instruments
playing all night
long.
But it's something in them that they just, you know, that they feel like, I don't know, they've just been given a gift, if you will.
Well, isn't that how you are? Aren't you improving through life as you go? Oh. You can't stop improving?
I get up in the morning and I do a few monologues. Then I have lunch. Then I get right back to it, do some more monologues. In the living room, even if nobody's listening.
Oh, nobody's listening.
And trust me when I say nobody's listening.
And are you musical in any way? Or what about your siblings? Did you ever start a Partridge Family type situation?
Well, I was in the choir in high school.
Can we hear a little something?
In the bleak midwinter.
Please tell me you were homeschooled.
Imagine that with 8-part harmony. That was okay. Just my... And by the way, we were singing, you know, in the bleak midwinter. We didn't have good songs. But I did love music. And you'll be interested to know, when I was in high school, my friends and I would have a punk rock party every year.
Mm-hmm. So were you a punk rocker?
I would say no. Mm. But I was... I liked it. And okay. We'd like to feel like we were really, you know, bucking the system.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what, that's your vibe. You know, I feel like we should give people a little more information about this before we get too caught up in your punk rock days. Mm-hmm. A Band Called Death, it's a 2012 documentary directed by Mark Christopher Covino and Jeff Howlett. It profiles three black brothers who, while growing up in Detroit in the 60s and 70s, form a pioneering punk rock band known as Death. Death predated the Ramones, Cheryl.
I hear
but
you.
But faded into obscurity before being rediscovered in the 2000s and gaining fame.
It's extraordinary.
It's so extraordinary. I mean, the fact that they predated the Ramones, that and they were in Detroit.
I know, which during, is also during Motown when when that was the vibe and and
Aretha people, Franklin, Jackson 5, Smokey Robinson.
They were all the Temptations. It was all that, you know, feel good, everybody sing along music. And then these guys,
punk rocking their faces off. I really enjoyed punk music as a kid. And
you did?
I was certainly not a punk rocker, but I loved the Sex Pistols. I loved the Ramones. I mean,
yeah,
even
had
one
an
of
appreciation.
My. What's that?
You had an appreciation for it.
Well, even beyond an appreciation, I loved these bands. I mean, even a band like The Pretenders, that straddled the punk and rock world. Mm-hmm. Chrissy Hynde's very punk rock as far as attitude, and I think a lot of it there's a lot of political implications with punk rock, and there's a lot going on there, but I was certainly not a tried and true punk rocker.
Right. You weren't like poking yourself with a safety pin. Isn't that what they did?
I think so. Not Death. Not a Band Called Death.
No, not a, not no. These guys, it's so interesting to watch them because they're very joyful.
Mm-hmm.
Which I just found so fascinating because you would think that it would come from this dark,
curmudgeon-y,
angry place. But the two brothers that are in this, they are very joyful people and really,
Brothers that are in the movie.
That are in the movie, right.
I kept telling Stephanie, man, I would have wanted to hang out with those guys.
I know.
They had such a cool style. Not just their music, but they were all cute and they all had a really great 70s look. And yeah. I just wanted so desperately to be in the recording studio with them.
I know.
And just trailing along as their biggest fan in the world.
I know. It would be so fun. I know.
Yeah. Me and you.
Hanging out with death. Well, I love, too, that they practiced in their house and their mom said, okay, you can play from 3 to 6 and that's it.
Yeah. But how great that she was supporting that.
I love it.
She's just like, great.
So let's tell everybody sort of what happens in this, right?
Okay. Yeah. Walk us through it.
In Detroit, right? These mm-hmm. brothers grow up with the musical parents, if you will. I mean, they expose them to different music, and the guys, what did they say? They were so influenced by the Beatles, mm-hmm. where they saw the Beatles.
Alice Cooper.
And then Alice Cooper.
The Who.
And then the Who.
Jimi Hendrix.
My voice is not going to get any higher. but yeah, I love that the parents are exposing them to these different artists. And like we were saying, at the time, it probably would have been easy to just stick with Motown and this mm-hmm. is what you should listen to and this is what you should follow. But they really encourage them to find their own path. And
well, didn't they, before they became Death, weren't they doing more of like a funk and soul?
Oh! the first name of their band was Rock Fire Funk Express.
Yes.
Which I love. Yes. And if I had a tattoo, that's what it would say.
You should have it put on your nose.
Rock Fire Funk Express. What? On my nose? I don't
Yeah, just
to.
Right at the tip of your nose.
Like a tiny?
Well, just not just to fill out the whole nose.
Okay.
I mean, that's where, I don't have a tattoo.
But that's where you would get
well,
one?
I do. I have a dot on the inside of my knee because my brother threw a ballpoint pen at my leg when I was in sixth grade and I pulled it out and I'm tattooed. So if
I mean,
I'm
it
ever...
stuck into your skin?
It did. And so I always tell people if I go missing and they say, does she have a tattoo? You can say, yes, there is one dot on the inside of her knee.
Wow.
But if I got another tattoo.
It's very Dateline, yes.
I've always thought I'd get a hot dog and a hot dog bun on the tip of my nose. That's punk rock.
I hope you don't.
That's like, I don't care.
That is.
I hope I don't either.
That's, I'm going to talk to Stephanie about that because.
I really hope I don't get a hot dog in a hot dog bun.
I really
on the tip
hope
of
you
my
don't.
Nose. Ugh. Anyway.
Okay, anyway. So these guys, so they start this band and then.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Their father died.
Yes.
And.
So tragically.
Yes.
The guy he was working with the electric company or something, electrocutes himself,
yeah.
right? Falls off the pole and the, you know, Papa Hackney. These are the Hackney boys. And then their dad goes and gets this guy, puts him in his truck or car to take him for medical help, go to the hospital. And then a drunk driver hits him and kills him.
It's
devastating.
It's devastating and it's tragic and it's so sad. And David, who was
one of the brothers.
And sort of the band leader.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Self-designated. He was so affected by this that he decided to name the band Death.
Right.
So the other brothers went along with it mm-hmm. because David was so passionate about it and felt like, you know, because his death affected us so much and I... And David said, you know, death shouldn't be a bad thing or a good thing. It just is part of everyone's life and we should accept it and acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
And so named the band Death and then they started getting some traction,
mm-hmm.
right?
How could they not? They were so
great. They were so great. And then they started getting attention and recording studios were looking at them but labels and said, we really like what you're doing, but your band cannot be named Death.
Clive Davis, in fact, from Arista Records. The man.
The man. And said...
One of the men.
Yeah, and said, change the name of your band and then let's talk. Let's do it.
We'll give you $20,000, yeah. Which was not nothing back then.
Yeah.
Even now, I wouldn't be upset if somebody said, here, take this $20,000.
I wouldn't hate it. Let's listen. No. Let's just let everyone hear what death sounds like, if you will.
Yes. Yeah.
The number one biggest game is when they gain the most fame. It's like a race at the top because they want to be boss. They don't care who they step on as long as they get along. Politicians in my eyes.
God, I love them.
Okay, so that was their
vibe. Great.
That was their sound.
Yeah.
And
Before the Ramones.
Before the Ramones. Which is also interesting because later in the documentary, you hear from...
Their brother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
But just to know that he didn't, the Ramones didn't even know this music existed at the time.
I know, it's fascinating. Yeah. It is so fascinating.
So, you know, the band Death.
Yep.
David refused to budge on the name, and nobody wanted them on their record label.
Yeah, they were such a tight-knit brotherhood.
Yeah.
And they really, you know, I found it interesting. I believe that David was maybe, not that I think anyone's not telling the truth, but, you know, this was his vision. He was kind of the visionary in the band, and everyone kind of gave that to him. But there were moments in the movie where I thought, don't give it all to David.
I know.
You guys are so incredible as well.
Yeah.
I mean, their musicianship and their brotherhood, the whole thing, it's so woven together beautifully that, yes, David was incredible, but you, sir, are equally as incredible.
Yeah.
And every time I was looking at that old footage, I was I wanted them to take more credit for their contributions. And
Dennis and Bobby. So Dennis and Bobby were the other brothers. And the band sort of broke up after that because David was never going to change. The other two brothers were happy to change the name to get a recording label involved. And
totally flexible to do what you got to do to get $20,000 and get out there and rock.
Yeah, and David said no.
And that was the death of Death.
Oh, that was the death of Death.
Mm-hmm.
But by the way...
Yes?
I mean, I understand David's point of view. I mean, when you do experience a death in your life...
Yeah.
It's so overwhelming and it's complicated. And,
yeah.
And I don't know why we don't talk about it more in everyday life because everybody's going to die. And it's always shocking when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's just shocking. I don't know why. It shouldn't be because it's going to happen.
Well, you know whose death was not shocking?
Huh.
Your father's.
Oh, that's true.
you told me that story.
I know. It's really, and I'm not laughing because my father died.
Of course.
No, it's a long story. One day I'll tell the whole story, but yeah.
Now I just look like a jerk.
No, because we've talked about it because it's, you know, it's one of those things. Yeah, he wasn't supposed to make it through the night. Cut to.
But he did many nights.
He kept making it through. And there were a lot of, oh my God, come quick. Everybody say goodbye. And, you know, day five, it's like, oh my God. I got nothing left. Hey, Dad. Remember the playhouse that you built for Pat? That was so... Hey, thank you for that. If you know, it's my sister's like, yeah, you already said that five times. It's like, all right. Hey, Dad. You know, it was just like... It got to the point where it was comical.
It was time to go.
It was time. And then he'd open his eyes and say, God damn it. Because he was still alive.
He'd try hard.
Yeah, he was ready to go. He would say goodbye.
He was trying to die.
He would say goodbye. He'd drift off to sleep. We'd all cry, stand there, sit there. Hours are going by. He'd open his eyes and say, God damn it. And it was just like another 24 hours goes by. But life doesn't prepare you for those moments.
Well, I have to say, I almost, in this pandemic, my stepfather, he texted for his first time. Both of my parents passed away a couple of years of each other. And so my parent now is my stepfather. And he texted. This was unusual for him. He's a very buttoned up, kind of stoic, removed personality. But he did it. And then my boys wanted to FaceTime with him. Well, he's never done that. Mm. And so I get him on FaceTime. And, of course, the angle that he has is just his nose. Up to the ceiling. And I'm talking to him, and then he's not responding. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Rick. And there's nothing. And at first I was like, oh my God, my stepfather died on FaceTime. And I was so, my heart stopped. And then 1 second later, I thought, oh my God, this is going to be the funniest story to tell, that my stepfather died on FaceTime.
I think you always want material.
Well, it just provides itself always. I mean, I haven't told my stepfather that I thought he died on FaceTime, but he's going to laugh. He's going to think that's great.
He'll think that's hilarious.
But yes, that was a shocking almost death. And true, most deaths are surprising. But I did want to add in, and I'm sorry to force you into telling your father's death story, but it's one of the funniest stories I've ever heard.
Well, I mean, it's funny because he was ready to go, and he was just as annoyed as everyone else, if not more.
But you're right. It is something to talk about. It is something to acknowledge and prepare for. Not that you need to be, you know, that your life needs to be in constant preparation for death, but unless it's the band.
Hey. So cut to Bobby and Dennis moved to Burlington, which I thought was very interesting. And they still, you know, they've got...
These guys don't follow the path ever that you think they're going to follow.
Very resilient.
Yeah.
So these guys go to Burlington. I can't say it without laughing. I don't know. It's just such an odd choice. Anyway, and they want to play music, and they start playing music.
Yeah.
Right?
Why not? So
And then they start another band.
They start a reggae band.
Called Lamb's Bread. Can we hear a little bit of that? Fire up the ganja. I like this.
Fire up the ganja. Please don't sing along.
Fire up the ganja. See, you can dance to that, Tig. They have a good sound.
Very good sound.
Yeah, and it's a good groove.
Yeah.
Lamb's Bread.
Lamb's Bread. By the way, the word groove, my son Max just asked Stephanie yesterday what a groove was, because she said, oh, I'm getting in the groove. And then he came up and he said, Mommy, what's a groove? And one of my favorite things in the world is watching Stephanie, who I would put everything in me behind the statement. She's one of the smartest people I've met in my life. Watching her define words for our children, I stop everything I'm doing and I say, go ahead, let's hear what is a groove. And she could never possibly work for Webster's Dictionary, by the way. They are the worst definitions. They are the funniest things in the world. Oh my gosh, they're terrible. Anyway.
I would have loved to have heard that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So these guys, okay, they play some reggae music, things are pretty good, and then life goes on, right? One of the guys, I think Bobby, ends up being a maintenance person at the local college. And he's grateful that he has that job, and he does his music when he's not working, and he has provided for his family. And then, so these guys had had kids.
Mm-hmm.
The boys grow up, they were all boys. They grow up musically inclined.
These are the sons of Bobby Hackney Sr. Okay?
Yeah.
This is not Grandpa Hackney. This is Bobby Hackney Sr., who was
in Death.
In the band called Death. He has three sons. And by God, go ahead, Sarah.
Well, I might get all the details wrong because I have a memory for like broad strokes instead
sure.
of anyway.
It's better than what I have. What if that was our whole podcast? You could Google it. We come on every week and we say, you know what? You rent the movie. Google it. There's Wikipedia, I'm sure. Ask around. Leave us alone. We watch the movie.
We want to get bogged down.
Yeah. What do you want from us? She's an actress. I'm a stand-up. You want to know about Death? Buy the album. Watch the movie. Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly. So what are the boys moves to? He's not a boy anymore, right?
No.
He's a young adult. He moves to L.A., is in the music
scene. No, he moves to San Francisco.
Oh, okay. California. Yeah. Let's, you know, once again, yeah. Details. And how does he hear that song?
A friend of his is blogging about it. His friend came across this song, a 45 vinyl, and was just really, really blown away by it. And in fact, we have a clip about
this moment.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Cheryl, could you play it?
Mm-hmm. Here it is.
Thanks, Cheryl. You're so good with all the tech stuff.
I did a little bit of research, and it didn't take long before I came across this website called Chunklet that Ben Blackwell had posted two songs.
The number one beat this game, but with the kingdom of fame, it's like a race at the top, because they want to be boss, they don't care who they step on, as long as they get along, politicians in my eyes.
I heard that song, Politicians in My Eyes, and I heard my dad's voice, and it was unmistakably his.
I mean,
can you imagine being in your 20s and finding out that one of your parents did something so amazingly cool that you had no idea.
And the crazy part of it all is that Bobby Hackney Jr. and his brothers were into punk and skate music, and they never knew that their dad played it. It didn't come up. This is what blows my mind. It's not like these guys knew. They didn't know any of this.
Right.
And then here are these guys, these three young boys that are the sons of Bobby Hackney Sr. living in Burlington, Vermont, playing punk and skater music. Just that's what they were gravitating towards. And then to find out their dad was in this incredible, groundbreaking punk band in Detroit in the early 70s, how does your head not explode? And I don't mean to like get off topic here, but how attractive are these three
sons? They are. I mean,
Bobby Hackney Sr. churned out three supermodel sons. They are so cute.
They are very attractive and talented.
Yeah.
So the sons were so excited mm-hmm. and blown away by what their dad and their uncles had done mm-hmm. with this recording that they wanted to release it. They wanted to re-release it as an album.
Well, there was also record collectors DJs.
The records were going for thousands of dollars.
Yeah. And if they were collector's items. And even the guys from the band called Death were saying, man, if I knew people wanted a copy of this vinyl, I just would have given them to. He had no idea that this.
How valuable
they
were. So, yeah, they went to search for the original recording of recordings of the songs that they
the
had
masters,
done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had it, you know, in a suitcase in an attic somewhere.
Yes, in a suitcase in an attic.
Oh, my God. It was so charming and sweet. And anyway.
We didn't mention, by the way, that David ended up passing away.
Oh, that's
a huge part of this. But
and this whole thing is called Death, and we just passed over it.
The dad, Grandpa Hackney, died. And then David Hackney died, and apparently he was an alcoholic and
chain smoker.
Yeah, and a chain smoker, and ended up having stage 4 cancer and just not in great shape, and he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing that I found so moving was how emotional and openly emotional Bobby Hackney Sr. is.
I know.
He so comfortably expressed his emotions.
I know.
And anytime sadness and tears came over him, it was so powerful and authentic. And he just destroyed me every time he would start to break down over these painful losses in his life.
This may sound ridiculous, but you almost feel privileged watching him because you know that it's coming from a very genuine place, and he's just sharing who he is with people.
He just seems not too proud on any level.
Yeah.
And it's really a tremendous quality. And that's what kept coming over me when I would watch him. I was just, man, this guy, he's not too proud.
Yeah.
And he's very human.
Yeah.
But David passed away after they had moved to Burlington.
Mm-hmm.
So just to kind of clear that up.
Yes. Yes. You're right. Because that is a big part of the story.
Yeah.
And so the re-release of this album was difficult because one of the band members had passed away. So the brothers, the young generation of Hackneys, decided to record. They re-recorded Politicians in My Eyes, and they named themselves
Ruff Francis.
Ruff Francis was garnering attention from people and sort of starting, you know, this movement towards death.
The band.
A band called Death, yes. So they decided to go and get Bobby and Dennis and have these guys come back together and start touring.
Yes.
And what's so crazy about this documentary is just hearing Bobby talk about his maintenance job.
Bobby Sr.
Sr. Mm-hmm. And then saying that somebody came in to find him and said, hey, do you mind not doing the maintenance job? And do you mind going on tour and playing your music?
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about it. It's just like a dream. You know,
yeah,
it's your
35
dream.
35 years later.
35.
And that clip when you're watching him vacuum or polish the hallway, I just was thinking, well, that's an unknown legend right there. That's a rock star. And it's really, yeah, it was so exciting to see them at all these festivals and these venues with packed turnouts.
And by the way, they still sound great.
Sound incredible. And then now there is the band Ruff Francis, who continues to play music and tour. In fact, when I was, after I had seen this movie the first time, this is, I think, the third time I've seen this movie. And I was so just floored by their family, their music, their story, everything. And on my tour schedule, I was headed to Burlington, Vermont. And I told Stephanie, this was like 5 or 6 years ago. I said, oh my gosh, I'm going to hunt down Ruff Francis and I'm going to see if they'll open for me.
Shut up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, okay. End of story.
See you later.
Bye.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. So you were looking for Ruff Francis, which, by the way, I love that name.
Isn't it great? Yeah. I have 2 Ruff Francis t-shirts.
Do you?
I do.
I want one.
I bet yours. We can line that up. Mm-hmm. But I got in touch with them and asked them if they would open for me during my stand-up show. And I happened to be performing in this theater that was an old church.
Oh, wow.
And and so Ruff Francis set up all of their instruments on the stage. Uh-oh. And it was the loudest, most exhilarating. I mean, I was in Burlington, Vermont with these guys blaring and jamming their punk rock music.
Were people confused?
Yes. And I loved it. I mean, so many.
Were they angry?
Oh, I don't know. And
who
I
knows?
Don't care. And not my problem. But so many people were into it. But I also remember seeing in the front row this group of, not group, but, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 people that seemed like maybe they were in their 60s or 70s. And I thought, oh, I bet I picked them up in my NPR world, you know?
Uh-huh.
And they seemed a little buttoned up and not, or maybe they were just people that went to that church and then stuck around and this was what was next. But it was such a funny contrast to have Ruff Francis blaring, blowing the windows out of that church. And then I walk on stage.
Hey, I'm Tig.
Cheryl is known for impressions of me.
I am spot on.
But yeah, I did my my Tig thing, and I have remained friends with Ruff Francis.
Really?
In fact, when they came on tour in Los Angeles, I had just bought a house, and I had no furniture in it, and they were on their way, and I said, listen, I don't have even a bed in place, but you are more than welcome to just have my house, the whole band, and they stayed in my echoey, empty home. And I remember my uncle had brewed or purchased some sort of really thick, fancy beer that was in our house. And and Ruff Francis, they drank the beer and then, it wasn't my uncle's brew. My uncle had purchased this beer for us that was a very dark, nice beer. And Ruff Francis drank it, and then they replaced it like times two, thinking it was our favorite kind of beer, I think. And then they also, what I did have in my house at the time was, I play guitar, not as good as Death or Ruff Francis, but I play guitar. And they had restrung all of my guitars and made them all pretty polished and tuned up. And it was such a...
That is crazy.
Yeah. So
how did you know that they had done that? Did they tell you or did you realize it?
I think I just realized it. I opened my guitar cases. I was like, what? What the...
That is... that's so...
Yeah.
That's really so cool.
So whenever I go through Vermont or they're through here or in between... You know, we see each other and we keep in touch and text here and there. But they're just the greatest human beings. They're as adorable in person. And their music, I highly suggest following them. Go check them out live. I know that, you know, Death is, I think they're still playing. But I mean.
Oh, no, I did Google them because I wanted to see if they're still playing. And I just saw, you know, their tour dates, which of course things are different now because of COVID, but it definitely looked like they were getting around the country and having a good time. It's just extraordinary. You know, it's all of it, just the resilience of these guys.
Yeah.
You know, and just to know that just because this thing didn't work out, that band didn't work out, like you said, you can tell that they have deep ties with their family, and that's where their happiness comes from.
Right.
Whereas David was more of a I don't want to say troubled soul because that's not right, but he was really consumed with his music.
Yeah.
In a way that it seemed like he had a harder time letting happiness in any other way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just sort of consumed him.
And I'm curious, do we have that song of David's? I think it was his last music. Don't You Cry, We're Gonna Make It.
Oh, my gosh. I know his wife was very sweet.
I know.
He was married for, what, 23 years or something?
Yeah, and just her emotion speaking about him and going through the highs and lows, which you can only imagine it must have been a ride with him. But there seems to be a lot of love within that family.
Yeah.
And
forgiveness
and coming together and coming apart. And
yeah. I mean, even, you know,
being open to change, which is so.
Yeah. I mean, even Dennis and Bobby, who could have been resentful about David not wanting to change the name of the band, they didn't seem resentful at all.
Right.
They seemed like, well, that was who he was, and that's what he believed, and we supported him.
Well, let's hear the Don't You Cry, We're Gonna Make It by David Hackney.
Now I know the hurt, babes, you're going through. There ain't nothing, babes, I wouldn't do for you. Someday.
Not his most punk rock contribution to music.
I was about to say, it sounded very uplifting.
It's almost country.
Folksy.
We're gonna make it.
Yeah.
Let me call David Hackney country and western.
I won't.
What he always was.
I'm not gonna let you.
You know what? If anyone played country western, it probably would have been one of the Hackneys. They probably have a country album in them.
I
These
think
guys
do
will do
I
anything.
They can do it all.
They've
switched it up a few times.
They really have. And I remember when I suggested we watch this movie and you're like, huh, a band called Death. What was your thought going in? What were you, did you have any preconceived ideas?
Well, it doesn't sound funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you were right. It's not hilarious.
It's not hilarious. And then you said something about punk rock, and I thought, I don't have an appreciation for punk rock where I would enjoy hearing, you know, an hour and a half of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did appreciate the music that we did hear in the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about punk rock, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know a lot about music.
No, we know.
But I don't like that it doesn't have a beat.
It does have a beat.
Not really.
Do you know what a beat is?
Maybe I don't. But I'll say this. It doesn't have a steady beat.
It has a very steady beat.
Oh,
I would say a lot of punk music is almost like a metronome, you know?
Well, it's like on the offbeat.
No, reggae is on the offbeat. Ugh, Cheryl.
I'm saying I need a beat I can dance to.
You can dance to Death. You can dance to Ruff Francis. What kind of dancing? Are you wanting to salsa?
I don't need
to. Are you wanting to square dance?
I love to square dance in my living room. That is another.
After you do your improv?
I do monologues, and then I do some solo square dancing.
Look, we're all trying to get through the pandemic, aren't we? We do what we can. Now, if you had a punk band, do you have a name that you would call it?
Maybe like Fuck Off America.
Whoa.
Oh.
We're going to have to bleep that out. In fact, you know, we're going to have to bleep out everything you've said in this whole episode. That'd be a great podcast if one host was just bleeped the entire time. Oh my God. That'd be so fun.
Especially because it's me. It's so racy. Well, why? Do you have a name?
Not after that. No.
Yeah, it's hard.
But I have a least favorite name, and I feel bad with it being my least favorite because I feel like it's an easy attack. And I hate low-hanging fruit. You know?
I love it. I love low-hanging
Beep!
Fruit. Because it's probably... I mean, low-hanging fruit is like so overly ripe that it's like bringing the branch down.
No. I was saying that's the band.
I know.
No, I'm kidding. Oh. I'm realizing that would be my punk band, Low Hanging Fruit.
Oh no, I'm starting to.
But just as far as when people make attacks, you know, when you know, one of the bands that people like to attack, that I personally, have a top secret affinity for, and my apologies to anyone that now thinks I'm the most uncool person, but I like the Nickelback song. I can't even remember the name of it, but
I like Nickelback.
Should we end there?
Well, are you saying that you're that
I'm saying it's low hanging fruit to make fun of Nickelback? Everyone does it. So
because,
I'm about
because of the name Nickelback?
No, because everyone thinks they're terrible. And everyone thinks that if you like Nickelback, you have terrible taste in music, which you're revealing about yourself the longer this goes on. And I'm telling you, I've got good taste, but I also squeeze in Nickelback. But I also like country and western. But this is a long way to go to say, I can't stand the band name Hoobastank.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Hoobastank.
That's bad.
Hoobastank.
I heard you the first 500 times you said it. Wait, are they the ones? This is a bad question. Is Tub Thumpers a song or is that a name of a band?
It's a song.
Who sings it? There's something weird about that too, isn't there?
Tubba Wubba.
Okay. That is a bad. That's a terrible.
I got knocked out. That's your favorite band.
No, that's a terrible name for a band is what I'm saying.
Worse
than that's like a frozen
Hoobastank.
Dessert.
Stank.
Chubba Wubba.
Hoobastank. Hoobastank is when you leave Chubba Wubba out overnight.
I wish I wasn't laughing at that joke.
I did.
I wish I had a moment to think about it before I laugh because I regret it.
I did a public radio show where I had to talk about my deepest, darkest secret love of something that everyone hates. And I went on public radio and admitted I love Nickelback's photograph. And I'm not trying to take away from the fact that I'm admitting I like that song. I also think it's very funny because his voice is so angry and the song is about, he's reminiscing about good times and he's like, look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me laugh. And yeah, can we pull up the song? Where this is obviously taking time away from really
right something good.
Two
that
bands that I absolutely adore, but I want you to hear how angry his memories make him. He says he has his photographs spread out on his bedroom floor. So this is a man looking through old photos about his childhood, his hometown, his old friends, and he's saying that it makes him laugh so hard, and he sounds like he's going to rip someone's head off.
It's really like an angry trip down memory lane.
It is. It is. And I'm like, do I love this song or do I think it's hilarious? But every time I hear it, I turn it up.
Yeah.
And I love getting worked up and as angry as he is about it all.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I get it.
Moving on. Anyway. Hoobastank, all of that. It's low-hanging fruit, but sometimes it fits. But I do love Nickelback. And listen, I love Death and I love Ruff Francis so much. Oh, God.
I want to get a tattoo, Ruff Francis.
Not of a hot dog on your nose?
No.
Okay.
That's so weird.
I think we should get drunk together one night. And
oh, my God.
Go get...
And go to a tattoo place and...
Get...
And you pick out the tattoo for me and I'll pick out the tattoo for you.
What would a tattoo artist do if Cheryl Hines stumbled in... drunk as a skunk and said, I want to get a tattoo on my nose. I want to get a hot dog bun on my nose. Would they do it?
I really hope.
We'll be right back after this commercial.
I hope they wouldn't.
Yeah, let's hope they wouldn't. Do you have anything that you'd like to say as we barrel out of here? You have anything you want to promote?
Good health and consideration to your neighbor or your neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
Just be honest in your life and take responsibility for the bullshit that you do.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. Maybe besides that, you can Google me.
Oh, and people do. I think you're the top Google search. Cheryl Hines hot dog.
If you want to know what's going on, just hit me on Instagram. DM me on Instagram.
I would like to say I have a advice podcast out there called Don't Ask Tig. And not that I'm trying to compete with our podcast.
Yeah, that's awkward.
But
do you give real advice or do you give like
Oh, thanks
bullshitty.
For listening to it.
I'm very busy. I don't have time to listen to.
I have nothing going on. I give real advice, and I also go down silliness spirals. Again, I can always point to the title, Don't Ask Tig, if the advice isn't great for
you. If it goes sour.
But if I can give anyone really great advice, it's to, you know, check out Death and check out...
Yeah. A band called Death.
And, well, not just the movie, but the actual band.
And, well, first see the movie and then listen to the music.
Don't pull this attitude with me. Just check them out. And also Ruff Francis. They're just great people and real talents. Mm-hmm. And not too hard on the eyes.
Somebody has a crush.
I feel like I always leave the music episodes with a crush. No, you had a crush.
No, I was the Metallica guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the Ruff Francis guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we should do it again sometime. Should we do this?
Okay. Yeah.
Let's do it again. All right.
Join us for next week when we talk about Fire, the greatest party that never happened.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.